Brilliance Audio presents Night Soil by Dale Peck, performed by Lee Warden. For Lou Peralta. High treason, when it is resistance to tyranny here below, has its origin in, and is first committed by, the power that makes and forever recreates man. When you have caught and hung all these human rebels, you have accomplished nothing but your own guilt, for you have not struck at the fountainhead. You presume to contend with a foe against whom West Point cadets and rifled cannon point not. Can all the art of the cannon founder tempt matter to turn against its maker? Is the form in which the founder thinks he casts it more essential than the constitution of it and of himself? Thoreau, A Plea for Captain John Brown. 1. Night Soil. 1. I tried to be a good boy. I didn't speak unless spoken to, and when I did speak, I called men sir and women ma'am. I said please, excuse me, and pardon our appearance while we renovate. Placed my napkin in my lap when I sat down to eat. Dropped my eyes when I caught people staring. By the time I was 3, I'd given up on finger painting. Used brushes instead, but only the ones my mother discarded, and only at the most distant edge of her work table. If I remember anything from my preschool days, it's this. My mother perched at the far end of those 6 rough-sawn planks, whirling a disc of clay before her like a captain in her stern. A stern captain, I can't resist saying. While I gadded about the prow, a gaudy figurehead stabbing his brush against the canvas, as though trying to slice it open. When I'd finally conceded that I couldn't make things any better, or at any rate, that more paint would only make them worse, I closed my easel and ferried my supplies to the back of the apartment, where an enclosed porch hung off the kitchen in a crazy parallelogram, its floor slanting almost as much as its roof. I hooked my palette on one nail, hung my apron on the other, then mounted a severed section of ladder, itself a rickety affair, its rungs twisting beneath my feet like a strand of DNA, in order to wash my brushes in an industrial-sized zinc sink nearly as deep as I was tall. Only after I'd cleaned and stowed everything did I go back for my painting. I was no one's idea of an artistic prodigy, but as a critic I was more precocious, by which I mean that even at 3, 4, 5 years old, I recognized that the colors and shapes I'd chosen to combine were as incongruent as peanut butter, jelly, and mayonnaise smeared on the same slice of bread. And after a glance down the table for a reprieve from my mother, who probably hadn't realized I'd left the room, let alone that I returned, I folded the wet canvas closed on itself, less like a sandwich than a book I'd abandoned. A story that could no longer pique even the most abbreviated narrative curiosity. Close the Aeneid after Dido calls it marriage, and she and Aeneas stay together forever. If you never crack the cover again, if you can convince yourself that the story belongs not to posterity but to you. I wasn't that strong. I painted every day for 3 years, until finally my mother stopped giving me supplies. Even then I pressed on, diluting my pigments and painting on the half versos of discarded canvases, the images growing smaller and smaller and fainter and fainter, until at length the only thing they depicted was my desire and its failure to fructify. It's a dubious gift to be able to envision something without also being able to make it. One wants to say it's the teacher's burden, or the writer's, or the male of the species. His burthen, I suppose I should call it. No doubt my dilemma was made more palpable by virtue of being Dixie Stammer's son. My mother never paid attention to what people said about her work, cared only about what she made and how closely it corresponded to what she'd set out to produce. I'd be lying if I said I didn't internalize that lesson from the time I was tall enough to recognize myself in a mirror.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?